concerning Moses, something that a lot of people don't want to see. It's in the Bible concerning Moses. So we'll start with a word of prayer. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, maker of all things that are seen and unseen, to you belongs all praise, glory, and honor, because you are worthy, Lord. You make the heavens and the earth, and you sustain them to this minute. The Bible is the word of God, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we're looking at, this is part of the thesis, Proverbs 6, 32 and 33, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. In Israel, there was some, this sin, there was no redemption for it. If you committed this thing in Israel, you were going to die. That's it. It's like committing murder. You were going to die. So it says, so this is a thesis we're taking. Proverbs 6:34, it says, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. And that's concerning this sin. Jealousy. That word jealousy means to be zealous. That's what that means. Showing great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. So you do that to a man's wife, and the Bible says you cannot offer him gifts. He is going to be angry. And that word rage, that violent, uncontrollable anger. This is what you'll be facing. You cannot buy your way out. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Have compassion or pity. You get yourself into this problem. God tells you that's what happens. So we're looking at that as a thesis because of what we're going to be able to see about Moses. Now, look at this. I want to give you a little review to kind of really grasp this. And the children of Israel sat forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. We saw this in chapter 22. We saw how Israel is coming from the south, and they go all the way up to Bashan and conquered the king of Bashan, which was Og. They went that far north, and that land, that's why they're going to get that land. They were supposed to go in, but 2.5 tribes are going to stay out. Half of Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben, they're going to stay out, and they're going to take that land. But they took it away from Bashan. And this guy, it says, the children said forward, this guy was a big guy. The Bible says his bedstead was made out of iron, and it was 9 by 4 cubits. He was a giant. He was an Amorite. He was one of those guys, the hill country. Big dude. And they went over there and did away with him. They did away with him. It's amazing. And pitched in the plains of Moab. So after they did that, they come back south, and then they moved into the plains of Moab. That's what happened. They go there. And we've been following that. So the people, the Amorites, the people that lived there, especially Moab saw that, and he says, these people are dangerous. Look what they just did to the giant. If they did that to Og, we're in trouble. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. There it is. They were distressed because of the children of Israel. But it was none of their business. Moab and Ammon should just stay out because this is God's working. He's doing a work. But they were afraid. And that word many is mighty. And the reason they were mighty is because somebody is fighting for them. Because you'll find out later, they did not lose one single person in the battle. You know? So somebody's fighting for them. This is amazing. Distressed because of the children of Israel. Somebody's fighting for them. And so here's what happens. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, we're in 22 now. We already covered this, but I thought And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall the company lick up all that is around us, about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. It was good grassland, by the way. That's why the children of Israel wanted that land for their cattle. It says, this people, I mean, they just defeated Og, this giant. And there were giants, those people, those hills, the Amorites, that's what they were. So they sought counsel. They went to Midian for counsel. That's what we're told. We saw that. They went to Midian, and this is interesting because Midian, that's where Mount Sinai is at. Mount Sinai, it's got another name, Mount Agar or Hagar. It's got different names. But, so we know that that's where these people are from. And so, Hagar is Egyptian. Remember, that was the wife of Abraham, or the maid that he took as a wife. She's Egyptian. And Egypt is always the world. So it's of this world. The law is of this world. This is what we're seeing here. The world, as a Christian, we don't need the law. The law doesn't touch us. It's already been taken care of through our Lord Jesus. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So we covered this. Zippor, that's the little bird, remember, that can see down, because these are mountain people. They like to see down. They like to look down. That's why they like the high places. But in actuality, if you look at that word Zippor, it's little bird, but it means something else. It's a little bird as hopping. That's what the Hebrew says. A little bird hopping. What that means is it's flying little short little spurts. It can't really see that high. You know, it's just like that. Short distance. And this is interesting because this is the name of Zipporah, the name of Moses' wife. Remember that? Zipporah. It's the same thing. It's a little bird. It flies around. These people live by the law. They live by the law, and they think this is saying that they're self-righteous. But they really can't see. If you're just going to be hopping little hops, you really can't see that high. Because, well, that's what it is. I mean, I just needed to show you that. Because this woman married Moses, or Moses married this woman. And then we find out that's when she was having problems with Moses, with a circumcision. Remember that? How she told Moses, you're a bloody husband because of the circumcision. Well, she doesn't like that, you know? These are people that live by the law. This is where they come from, Midian. Okay, look what it says here in Galatians 4:24. Which things are an allegory for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. The Bible tells you that in Galatians. Mount Sinai is the law, and the law will get you into trouble. The law cannot save you. It's there for another reason. It's there to point out that you can't keep the law. Don't go down that. It'll get you into bondage. That's what will happen, because Agar is a slave. Okay, so now look at this. In Romans 4:13 says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. There it is. If you go down the side of the law, that's a side that a lot of people don't like to see about the law. And the Bible is showing us here. I just had a class on Thursday, which I teach apologetics, and I was telling the people, I says, the class, I was telling them, look, people find trouble when God says, How did God allow entire villages to be massacred? They have a problem with that, because you find that in the Bible. Kill men, women, and children, everybody. I want them all wiped out. It's in the Bible. And says, what kind of a God is that? I says, the reason they say that is they don't understand the Bible. And here you're about to see it, okay? Because the law worketh wrath. If you're attempting to be justified by the law, expect wrath. That's what the Bible says. And here's what, so this is the thesis we're taking. Now, we had seen this in chapter 29. God gave them this, the feast. He says, these things shall ye do unto the Lord in your set feast, beside your vows and your freewill offerings. Because the feast where God wants you to remember, these things have been done for you. They've been done for you. So he gave them seven feasts, along with the vows and your freewill offerings. So these things are there. We saw them. Don't forget. We are not under the law. But we need to remember that. We need to constantly be reminded, the Lord took care of this, you know. For your burnt offerings, every morning, remember the offering of the lamb, the budding lamb, budding heads to establish authority. God says, burn it early in the morning, burn the morning sacrifice and burn the evening sacrifice. All day long, God's got to be in charge. So you offer that, you're saying, I will obey. I am yours. There's no need to establish who's boss here, because the Lord is boss. You know, that's the way the morning starts. And then for your meat offering, that's a flour with the oil. No blood. Bloodless sacrifice. That says, I will serve thee, Lord. That's what Paul says. A living sacrifice. We should do that. Be a living sacrifice. And a drink offering, the drink offerings. What you're saying is, I'm going to pour myself out. You know, pour yourself out, I will do thy will. And Jesus did the opposite. Remember in the garden, three times he said, not my will, but thine be done. So for the intellect, for the emotions, and the will. That's the three times the Lord Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And he drank the cup. He did the opposite from us. He drank our cup, and we pour our cup out. So when you say that, it says, I'm not going to do my will, my intellect, or my emotions. Or my, none of that matters. Only yours matters, Lord. So I'm going to do thy will. And for your peace offerings, the peace offering, when you have peace, no matter what life throws at you, you go through life relying upon the breast of the peace that belonged to you. The piece that belonged to you of that sacrifice of the peace offering, there was two pieces. One was the wave offering. This is yours, Lord. This is yours. Yes, that's mine. Give it to Aaron and his children. They're supposed to eat that. And then the heave offering, the heavier piece. Like, this is yours. This is yours. I know. Give it to Aaron and his boys. They're supposed to feed on that. So what the Lord is saying, we're priests. All of us, every single person in here is a priest. So that means you're supposed to feed on the love of God. When everything falls, when the bottom falls out, and you think that nobody cares, nobody knows what you're going through, God says, feed on my love and feed on my strength. Feed on that, and that'll bring peace. And that's what that is. That's the peace offering. And so what you're telling the Lord, I will feed on thy love and on thy strength. And this is supposed to happen continually. When Brother Bess asked us to come to the altar, you're supposed to be saying that to the Lord. I will obey you. I will serve you. I will do thy will. I will feed on thy love and thy strength. No matter what happens, I'm trusting you. So these were the things. So all this has happened. We've already looked at you. Beside your vows. Okay, beside your vows. Remember, we dealt with that last week. Concerning the wife and the daughter. Uh-huh. Now we get to chapter 31, finally. And they're in the plains of Moab. This is where they're at, the people are at. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. they're about to cross over into Jordan and cross the Jordan and go into Canaan. And the Lord says, before you do that, there's a matter we got to take care of. He told Moses, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Take vengeance of these people, the Midianites, descendants of Abraham. He's saying that. And because remember what they had done? They have given counsel to Moab, and Moab says they told Moab to hire Balaam. Remember that? Balaam was hired to curse Israel. And God didn't forget that. He didn't forget that. And so now he's telling Moses, take care of that. These people did this, so we're going to take care of Midian because they hired Balaam. And so now he's going to go after Midian because of what they did. Interesting. Notice what it says here, the children of Israel. Avenge the children of Israel. The Lord says that because of what they did to him. What did they do? Well, they sent women in there, and they sent, and also they committed two sins. They got the children of Israel to commit idolatry and immorality. They did that to God's people. And you know, when I was preparing this lesson, I'm thinking, people should know this. You don't mess with Israel. You do not mess with Israel. This is why in Psalm 122 says, he never slumbers nor sleeps. He who takes care of Israel. He never slumbers nor sleeps. And in another place it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. You shouldn't mess with Israel. This is what I'm telling you. And you're going to see it here. Afterward, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people. It says, Moses, before you die, I want you to take care of this business. Go down there and take care of what they did. The Midian. Okay, so you ask, why? Why is the Lord being like this? Just leave him alone. Let's move on. We got things to do. Move over across the Jordan, get into Canaan. Duh. But no, God said, before we do that, we got to take care. And now, he's not dealing with Moab. Moab is going to be dealt with later on. And Ammon. They're going to be dealt with later on. But for now, Midian is being pointed out. And notice it was Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses, and that's the law. And that's what I was saying earlier. There are things that people don't want to see, but they're in the Bible. And you need to know that about the law. And the law, folks, when I read for the first time that Moses, that says his eyes were not dim, and by the way, there's no glass in his eye. That's so cool, you know? It's so cool. Everything is brighter, folks. The sky is bluer. Miss Lucy's eyes, I mean, her face, her hair was Wednesday. It was sparkling. I says, wow, what did you put in your hair? She says, what do you mean? I says, it's sparkling. You know, I hadn't seen it like that before. I'm seeing things anew. I feel like I'm an 8-year-old boy with my vision, you know. I'm going around looking at things. I says, I want to do some watercolor now. This is so cool. It's neat. I praise the Lord, you know, because I was getting sad. I was thinking, my eyes are getting worse and worse. It's going to come a time where I'm not going to be able to drive, and I'm going to have to take the taxi or the bus, and, well, that's life. And as I said, I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you brought me so far, and you give me so much insight into thy word. It's sad that it would come to an end. And then when I came out of there, out of the OR, and they had a thing on my eye, a little ball of a little glass they put on my eye, a little patch, and I could sneak around. I says, oh, good night. Wow. It's amazing, folks. Okay, getting back to this. Why? So look at this. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and a woman. This is what we covered last week. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. And the whole chapter, we covered that, 16 verses. We talked about that, how if she vows, because we had covered the vows, if a young girl vows and her father hears her, he can disannul the vow. We saw that. And same thing with a wife. The husband can disannul it. And that word statute is an enactment, performance, staging between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter, being in her youth in her father's house. So it's talking about, and this is why I have a hard time. Folks, when you read the Bible, if you don't understand something, move forward or move backward. Because the Bible is all written continuously. Leviticus comes after the right book, Exodus. It's after Deuteronomy comes after the right book, Leviticus. You know, it's all in the right order. And we need to read it like that. I mean, you can read it in any direction you want, but once you've done that, then you got to read it chronologically or just the way it is, because God puts definitions and meanings there. So I was thinking, what does it mean between a man and a wife and a daughter and a father and his daughter? And in 2 Kings 19:21, it says this: this is the word that the Lord had spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and left thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. 26 times you'll find the daughter of Zion in the Bible. Israel is a daughter. But at this point in the life of their existence as a nation, she's a young daughter. Interesting, folks. So, because she vowed unto the Lord, but did the Lord hear it and disallowed it? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. And look what it says here in Jeremiah 3:8 says, "And I saw when for all her causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery." How can a nation commit adultery? Because that talks about somebody that's married. Ah, the plot thickens. Israel was married to who? To Jehovah. Oh, good night. And I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. That's what the Lord did to Israel. Israel, folks, is the daughter and the wife. That's an enactment. This is why it's what is being pointed out here. It's being pointed out that that's who Israel is. In her youth, in her father's house. Look what it says. Because we find this also in Acts 17:30. It says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at." When you wink your eye, that's a little short little, like you don't see. It's like, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. It's like you see wonderful sights of God towards his people, you know, because you want to say, no, he didn't say that. Yes, he did. You know, he did that because Paul says there's a time of ignorance. When we come to know the Lord, a lot of us are like that. That's why some people as a Christian, you see them and says, yeah, I became a Christian, and they're still smoking and doing things they shouldn't be doing. But God cuts them slack. But once you get into a certain age, God says, you know better. It's time to grow up. Because, so, in her youth, I think that's what happens to her, to Israel. Because look what happens in Exodus 19:7 says, "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded." Moses brought the law to this young nation, they just been formed. They just crossed the Red Sea. And you know what the people said? The people said, and the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And I think that's when they said, we're going to do everything God says. No, you're not. We know they didn't. By the time Moses come down, they had already broken the commandment, the first commandment. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. The Lord heard that. He says, I hear what the people are saying. But I think that's what he's saying. They were a young nation in their youth. But later on in 587 BC, the wife of Jehovah has committed adultery. And she is kicked out of the land. In 587 BC, they're kicked out of the land. So that happened. The Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah, that's the last king, folks. I mean, towards the last king of Israel. Hast thou seen that which backslide in Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. She's married. She's married to Jehovah. God is not going to like that. He doesn't like that concerning his wife. So that gets us back into this story. I'm just getting you pieces to where I'm going down with this thing, because he will not spare in the day of vengeance. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge. Notice how it changes. We saw here where it said, avenge Israel, the children of Israel. But that's not what it says here. Moses is now saying, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Because it's the Lord that is angry. It is his wife. Oh, good night. You do not want to be in that path when the Lord comes down on you like that. And I think this is what happens to a lot of countries. Folks, it says in history, if you look at history, there are things that happen. If you go up against the people of God, throughout history, things happen to you. Spain, one of the most powerful nations. Spain had the Spanish Armada. You know what? In 1492, they kicked out the Jews out of their land. And you read the story about the Spanish Armada, what destroyed it? Beautiful ships, beautiful, majestic ships with all these cannons. The wind stopped in the middle of the ocean. They became sitting ducks for that British who had smaller ships and destroyed the Spanish Armada. That was no accident, folks. And then later on, one of the most powerful nations in the world, Germany, they had that technology. And what happened? They were divided in half, and they became, when they did what they did to the Jews, I tell you, when you read the Bible and then you look at history, you don't want to mess with these people, you know, because arm yourselves unto the war. So he's telling, now this, folks, vengeance, the vengeance of the Lord. I think this is what he's saying, the vengeance of the Lord. He says, you're messing with his wife. And we already saw that. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. You can't buy your way out. Once you mess with her, and that's what they did. Midian did that. They messed with the Lord's wife. She was young, but at this point, this is what they did to her. And so, he will not spare. Avenge, quarrel, vengeance. Have compassion. Because what he does now to these people, look what he says. Of every tribe, 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall you send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe. Send, you shall send to the war. 12,000 armed for war. Folks, this is the kind of thing. Doesn't the Lord say, don't take vengeance because vengeance is mine. I will repay. He tells us that in the Bible. This is not your bit. I'll take care of that business. You just do what you're told. I'll take care of it. Somebody messes with you, I'll take care of it. The thing is, this is a dirty job. This is a dirty job. And God says, select 1,000. And this was a small group, folks. 12,000 people. And by the way, they're not going to lose one single man. And they're going up against this massive 5 kings. And this is what's so amazing. 1,000 times 12, and that's Israel. the job they were going to do. So Israel, that's what 12,000 represents. It represents Israel. Delivered, set apart. And I call that for uncleanness. They were set apart. That's what that word means, delivered. And they're set apart for a job. Some vessels are for honor and some for dishonor. And so here you have these people. They're going to go take care of this business. And Moses sent them to the war. Notice, it's interesting, who it tells you who sent them. 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments and with trump and the trumpets to blow in his hand. So Moses, who's Moses? The law. The law is going to go take care of this. The law is, we saw that in Romans. You don't want the law. You don't want to go, because the law has, and we have the law sitting here with us in our church. Brother Gian, he is now part of the law, but he's given authority. The law says, don't take matters into your hand. He takes care of that. He's assigned. He carries not the sword in vain. You know? So Moses sent them to the war. That's what it says. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest. That is interesting. It says, the high priest was Eleazar. Why didn't he go? Nope. That's not a job for him. This is because you got to blow the trumpet, and it's got to be a son of the priest. You know, we were told all that. And so he goes, and so you got to know what the name of Phinehas means. It means the mouth of the snake. Isn't this interesting? Remember, Moses carried a rod, and that rod, when he dropped it in Pharaoh's court, it became a snake, a viper. So it's a good thing, but it can become deadly. So that's the law. And so this is the mouth of the snake. And it's come, and it says, with the holy instruments. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it was the ephod or the ark. More than likely, it says something prepared. The trumpet, the holy instruments, and the trumpets. And I know there were two trumpets. Something prepared. So they're going to go down there to take care of business, take the vengeance, because the Lord, what they did to his wife. And he's going to go down, these people are going to go down there. Now look, this is what I get, folks. In Matthew 22:37, it says, the Bible is just like this. This is why it's so important to know the whole Bible, because it all is jammed together. It all defines and it's commentary on each other. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is when he was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And he told them, do this, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like, and it says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So as they were traveling to the desert, they were blowing these two trumpets. On all their holidays and days of feast, they were blowing these two trumpets. And they were silver, made out of one piece. They were all silver. Silver stands for salvation. It's redemption. And the people around them, they could hear these people traveling to the desert, blowing their trumpets on holidays, on Sabbaths, and so on. And so on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You want to keep the law? Keep these two commandments. You got it all. And that's what the Bible is saying. If you want to keep the whole law, actually, if you keep these two commandments, you're keeping the whole law, because you won't want to do anything against the law, the Lord, or to your neighbor. And that's what the commandments are all about. So I believe that's what these two stand for, these two silver trumpets. And they warred. against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. That's what they went down there and they massacred everybody, all the males. They warred. Look at this. They did it as the Lord commanded Moses. They slew. They did it. They slew. This is why it's called, this is why I think it's a dirty work, because they're doing it instead of the, I mean, although the Lord allowed them to do it. It's interesting. Why didn't the Lord just send an earthquake? Or why didn't he just send a plague? No, he says, I want you to do it. Take care of this dirty business. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain. The kings of Midian. There were five kings. And namely, Evi, Rechem, and Sur, and Hur, and Reba, five kings of Midian. And I give you the names of them. Zur is the father of Cosby. That's the woman that, remember that Phinehas went in there and speared the two people that were in the tent committing adultery. He speared them and killed them both. Her name means to lie. And so they went in there and killed all these people beside these five kings. And I give you the names. I don't know what it stands for, but there's more there if you wanted to go down that rabbit hole. There's more information. The Bible is that deep, folks. It's just amazing. And also Balaam. And in the process, they killed Balaam as well, the son of Beor. They slew with the sword. They did all this. They did it. I'm pointing this out because they're unclean. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle and all their flocks and all their goods. Once they massacred all the men, they said, yeah, we'll take all these slaves, all these, and all the other, the booty, the gold, the silver. They took all that. Israel took it. It says they took it. They weren't given permission to do that, but they did it, okay? And they burnt all their cities wherewith they dwelt, and all their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and women. That word men means the living people, the humans of the beast. So this is Midian. 12,000 men went and did all this damage, because God is behind it. God sent them to carry this revenge. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, unto the congregation of the children of Israel, into the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. So that's where they were camping. And but right before they cross over, they went and did this. And they come back and they bring all this stuff. And they brought it, the captives, the slaves. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp, outside the camp. They're bringing these things that are unclean. And so they go out there to meet them. They don't want them in a camp. And the Lord is pointing this out, how there's so much going on here, folks. Before you go to serve the Lord says you need to take care of these things. Don't bring him into the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host and the captains over the thousands and the captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. Moses was wroth. He was angry with them and with the officers and with the captains. They should have known better. But I thought, wait a minute. Wasn't Phinehas with them? He should have known. Phinehas, I thought, and Moses says, have you saved all the women alive? They have brought them for slaves, to slavery. Moses didn't like that. But I thought, well, where is Phinehas? Phinehas was with them. He should have told them, no, we can't do that. Phinehas, folks, stands for the law. Phinehas stands for justice. Phinehas is a Levite. Remember what Levi did at the very beginning when we see Levi. Reuben is the firstborn. He was weakly. Simeon, I believe he's the conscience. The third one is Levi. Levi, he took a sword and massacred the entire village. Remember when they raped Dinah? This is the same guy. This is the same family. Where is Phineas? Phineas is the mouth of the snake. It'll bite you. The rod becomes a snake. The rod of Moses becomes a serpent. And so he just went to do the job, but they did their part. They did all these things. And so I think this is what it stands for. Behold, these cause. Moses says, you saved the women? Behold, these are the ones that caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. He says, you brought this thing into the camp? Are you serious? This is crazy. This is why Moses was so angry. It says, in the matter of Peor, those are the high places, folks. 90 times the Bible says, as you read the Bible, you're going to find how the Bible talks about the high places. They committed idolatry in the high places. 90 times high places are mentioned in the Old Testament. And these are the high places in Peor. That was the highest place. That's where Balaam was trying to curse the people. And he eventually got them to commit idolatry. And look what it says. Now, therefore, kill every male, the little ones. Among the little ones, kill every woman that has known man by lying with him. This is amazing. This is why a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they say, what kind of a God is this? They don't understand. This is the law. Moses is saying this. This is what Moses is saying. Kill every little boy. Kill all the little girls that have been with a man. And all the women. Kill them all. Look, in Psalm 83:18 says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. The most high is mentioned 48 times. He doesn't like it when you put somebody above him. He is the most high. Peor was not that high. He was like a hopping little bird. So this is what, this, now you understand why the Lord says, okay, the law is going to take, because the law always, remember how the law always protects, Moses protects the Lord. We're going to have to stop here. But that's, the law stands for God, protects God. And the law, it doesn't have pity. The law, this, and it's showing you right there, killed everything. He will not spare in the day of vengeance. That's the law. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your kindness and goodness towards us. Thank you for the amazing things that are found in your book. Help us now to prepare our hearts and our minds to listen to your word. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. For beside you, there is no other God.